Welcome to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church in Pittsboro, North Carolina. I'm Lee Callicutt, pastor for preaching and teaching at Grace Hill. Grace Hill Church exists to glorify God by being a community on mission transformed by the gospel. For more information about Grace Hill, visit us at gracehillchatham.com. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the people of old received their commendation. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning. The first day. Most of you, if not all of you, would affirm what I just read. The very opening of the scripture and the creation account we find in Genesis 1, we would affirm that, and we would understand, and we would know, and we would be convicted by that God created the world. That in the beginning, God created. He created the heavens and the earth. That all that we see, we know that God has made. And not only did God create the world and everything in it from nothing, he did it merely by speaking. He said, "Let there be," and there was. There was nothing. And God spoke, and by the power of his word, the worlds came into being. How do we know this? Ultimately, we have this conviction of this invisible, unseen reality. Yes, there are evidences, there are facts, there are certain things we can observe and know that it is true. But why do we ultimately have this conviction that God created the universe? He spoke it into existence out of nothing by the word of his power. How do we know this? How do we understand this? How do we have conviction of this? Well, it is by faith. We know that God created the world. We have the conviction of this invisible, unseen reality because of faith. We ultimately know what we know because of faith. And we come to Hebrews 11, and the undeniable theme of Hebrews 11 is faith. And we are called to live by faith. And the author of Hebrews is now setting before us the need to persevere and endure, to have this persevering and enduring faith that we must press on. And he is about to give us a litany of examples from the Old Testament heroes and saints of all these different examples and scenarios and circumstances where they displayed a persevering and enduring faith. But before he gets to those lists, that list of examples, he's going to take us right to the very beginning. He's actually going to take us to an example that is in our own hearts, a conviction, a reality within our own hearts that we know by faith God created the world. God created the universe. And so the author of Hebrews, before he sets out on all these examples of those that lived with persevering and enduring faith, he takes us right back to the very beginning. The very source, the very origins, the genesis of how this world came to be. And so he starts with creation because he is making the point. One must have faith to believe that God created the world out of nothing. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made of what is visible, the very origins, the very beginnings of this universe. And to understand how God created requires faith. And so in verse 3, he writes this: by faith, we understand. How do we know what we know? The fancy word for that is epistemology. How do we know what we know? And what the author of Hebrews is teaching us from the Bible is you and I know what we know because of faith. It is faith we know what we know. It is not that we're illogical. It's not that we don't have reason. It's not that we don't have evidences. But behind everything that we know is ultimately we know what we know because of faith, because God has given us faith. Faith is the very means to understanding. By faith, we understand. Faith is the means of knowledge, the means of understanding. One famous church theologian throughout church history, Aslam, he says this. He says, some seek to understand so they may believe. He says, we believe so that we may understand. See, by faith, we understand. Faith is not a blind reliance. Faith is receiving the word of God and trusting the word of God, believing the word of God, obeying the word of God. Paul writes to Timothy in the 4th chapter of his first letter to Timothy. He says, I write this so you may be of those who believe, who have faith and know the truth. See, by faith, we understand. By faith is the means of understanding. By faith, we know what we know. And it is the Bible that says it's the fool's heart that is slow to have faith and believe. It is the fool that will scoff at God's word. But it is the one who has faith that understands that God created the universe. By faith, we know. By faith, we understand. And what is the something that we know? He writes in verse 3 as he continues, by faith, we understand that the universe was created. That is what we understand. That is what we know by faith. That is the conviction of things we cannot see, is by faith, God created the universe. There are so many today that don't even have this fundamental knowledge that the universe was created. Why do they not have the fundamental knowledge that the universe was created? Is it because of evidence? Is it because of truth? Is it because of reason? No, there's plenty of truth. There's plenty of evidence. There's plenty of reason that the world was created. The reason people do not grasp and subscribe to this fundamental knowledge that by faith we understand that the universe was created is not by evidences or truth. It's ultimately because they lack faith. They don't have faith. They believe that this universe is just random chance. But it's by faith. It's faith that says, no, the universe was created. And this world, this universe, this word he uses for universe, is in the original language, it can be translated worlds. The point he's making, when he uses this universe was created, it can mean ages or worlds. And what he is getting at is everything that has ever been, God made. God created it. The immaterial and the material, God made. God made the land, the sea, the sky, the birds. He made man. He made woman. And yet he also made what is immaterial. He made souls. He made angels. He created all the animals. He created the sea and all that is in it. God made everything that was because there was nothing. And now there is something. And why and how can we go from nothing to something is because God made it. God is self-existent that way. There is nothing existing with God, beside God, or before God. God is self-existent, and he spoke the world into existence. So the universe was created. It had not always been in being. So the tiniest microscopic molecule and atom to the largest and brightest star, God made. The universe was created. And so he goes on in verse 3. As he says that everything that has been made, the worlds, the ages, was created. That word created, it actually means to frame, to fashion. See, the Christian worldview states that the universe was created. And who framed it? Who fashioned it? It was God. We cannot even escape from the very first sentence of the Bible. We cannot escape this reality. The Christian worldview says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You have a whole worldview right there in the very first verse of Genesis. And Hebrews 11:3 is nothing but re-emphasizing that reality. The universe was created, and God is the one who created it. The universe is not eternal. The universe has not always existed. It was created. The universe had a beginning. There was a time where the universe was not, and then a time where the universe became, because God made it. And virtually every scientist today will at minimum acknowledge that the universe had a beginning. At some point in time, it came into being. I love it when science catches up with the Bible. Because at some point, the universe began. And it began to exist. And because it began to exist, therefore, there must be a cause behind what made it exist. And faith says the cause, the uncaused cause of everything that we see is God Himself. He is the Creator. And this word create, like I already mentioned, it means framed, it means furnished, equipped, prepared for a purpose. It's fashioned. It's like framing a window. When you put a window in, you put the frame in to, one, give it order, to give it structure, to give it shape, and also to give it beauty. That's what a frame does. It structures and surrounds the window. And that is what the author of Hebrews is telling us God did with this world. Is He created, He framed it, He fashioned it, He equipped it, He furnished it. He gave it structure, order, and beauty. That is what God has done. It has been framed in. This universe has been framed in. Just like a master carpenter frames a window, God has framed and fashioned this world with order, structure, system, and beauty. God framed the universe. I mean, you think about the order and the structure of what God has created. By faith, we understand that the universe was created. You think about just in this tiny little planet that we're on, that we label and call Earth, if we are any closer to the sun, we'd burn up. If we're any farther away from the sun, we'd freeze. The angle of the axis and the rotation and the revolutions around the sun, all of that keeps the water liquid. All of it keeps this earth inhabitable. The rotations, the revolutions, all of that gives us a sustainable environment. And the list goes on. That is how precisely and intricately God has ordered this universe. This universe is not some chaotic, random event. You are not stardust. God has made you. God has created you. You are just not here by random chance. God has given you life and breath and being. God has made you in His image. And therefore, you do have purpose, and your purpose is to glorify and worship this God who has given you life. And God has ordered this world. He has ordered this universe. And He sustains it by the power of His word. That means something like climate change or global warming is nothing for us to believe in. But unless you think God didn't frame and order the world, do you think it's somehow spiraling out of control? No, God has ordered the world. God has framed the world. God has created the world. This is not by chance. This is not chaotic or random. The order and design of the universe in itself testifies that there is a God. I mean, can we really get order from chaos? Think about everything that exists in this world. From the complexities of the human eye, to a baby being born, to the galaxies upon galaxies. You think we can get that order from chaos? That would be like setting off a bomb in a brick factory and expecting a house. It'd be like seeing a watch and seeing the design and the intricacies of a watch and denying that there's a watchmaker. When do we ever get order from chaos? No, even the order and the structure and the systems of this world, from gravity to the tides, testify that there is a God who intelligently designed this world. It is God who tells the oceans where to stop. Isn't that what he says to Job? Were you there? He says, were you there when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. He says, no, I've determined the measurements. You know. God has ordered this world. He's created this universe. But not only has he given it order, and by faith we understand he created and gave it order, we also understand by faith that as he creates this universe, he's given it beauty. The sun setting, the sun rising, snowflakes falling, the power of thunder, the mountains, the beach, the ocean waves. When a baby is born, and you think about all that has to go into having a baby born, and you look at the beauty of a newborn, you don't hold a newborn in your hands and think, maybe there's a God. No, you thought, when we see the sun setting, when we see the sun rising, when we hear the ocean waves, when we sit on top of a mountain, when we see the snow fall, when we hear the rain drop, when we hold our baby, we say, God did that. God does that. Psalm 19, the psalmist writes, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. The beauty of creation itself testifies. The wisdom, the power, the complexity, the immensity is the testimony of God and his power. And faith understands that it's God who made it, that God who created it, that's God who gave it order, that's God who gave it beauty. From the most microscopic molecule to the grandest of galaxies, we see God's hands and we say, how great is our God? Faith sees the fingerprints of God on everything that has been made. It is by faith we know the universe was created. But then it is also by faith we know how the universe was created. He goes on in verse 3 to say, by the word of God. God created, formed, framed, fashioned this universe simply and merely by the power of his word. Genesis 1:3 says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. The psalmist writes in chapter 33, he says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. For he spoke and it came to be. For he commanded and it stood. Peter writes in 2 Peter 3, he says, by the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. It is by the very words of God that he's commanded all things into existence, forming and shaping them through his creative, authoritative word. Everything that exists, exists because of divine fiat, divine command, divine decree, divine sovereignty, divine word. By the word of God. He created the universe. And then we learn from the rest of Scripture who is even the agent of creation. You have the Word that created, but who is the living incarnate Word? Who is the agent of creation? It is Jesus Christ Himself. For in John 1, what does the Apostle John say? He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And in verse 3, he says, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made. Jesus Christ, the living and incarnate Word, is also the Word, the agent of creation that spoke everything into existence. Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17, for by Him, Jesus Christ, all things were created. All things were created on heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. God spoke by His immense power and sovereignty and prerogative. He created the galaxies by the word of His power. Merely by His word. He spoke, and then there was. Day after day, for 6 days, God opened His mouth and framed the galaxies for His glory. He called by the word of His power into existence the land, the sky, and all living things, the stars, the farthest reaches of creation, all by the power of His word. But then He adds one more reality that we have by faith. And in verse 3, He says, by the word of God, so that what is seen, the trees, the stars, the moon, the sun, what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. God created everything out of nothing. In theology, we refer to this as ex nihilo, out of nothing, God created. Everything that I see, He made. He made it with things that we cannot see. What this is teaching us is God did not have some sort of pre-existing Adam, pre-existing molecule that existed outside of Himself, that was with Him or beside Him at the beginning. When God is eternal, God is timeless, God is unchangeable. There was no Adam or molecule that also existed beside Him that He had to work with, and He just took what existed and made what we see. No, there was nothing. God did not take eternally pre-existing matter, substance, reshape it or reconfigure it into this present world. No, God spoke it out of nothing. There wasn't like a heavenly hardware store where God picked up seeds to plant, or trees, or leaves, or stars. He didn't go to the star aisle and throw them into the galaxy. There was nothing, and He spoke it, and it came to be. There was no pre-existent material or particle for God to work with. There was nothing. God created. See, God's creative activity is not like ours in this way. This is where the creator and creature distinction is so evident. And yet you have these fools running around so they can speak things into existence. No, you can't speak anything to existence. Only God can speak something into existence. But you take like a master sculptor. He can create, but he has the marble or the stone to work with. You can go see an artist and have a beautiful painting and rendering of art. But that artist still has, no matter how brilliant that artist is, he or she still had a brush, still had paint, still had a canvas. God had nothing. And He made all that was, all that is, and all that will ever be. The world was not made out of world. There was nothing. It had no form. It was just void. And the God who is, the God who was, who is, and will always be, took nothing. And by the very power of his word, made everything that we see. When God says, let there be, there must be. The world did not evolve out of something that already existed. You cannot hold to the evolutionary theory and the Christian worldview of creation at the same time. You cannot do it. The evolutionary theory is a rank lie that goes directly against the revelation of Scripture. God and only God has the power and ability to create something out of nothing. And so everything that we see, God has made. God is the first and God is the final cause of all things. He has the absolute power to create. He is the uncaused cause. God created this universe, shaped it, and ordered it by his word for his purposes. And it is by faith we understand this. It is by faith we have this certain knowledge. Anyone who would reject that God created and fashioned and formed the world, this is not, it's not because you don't have the evidences. It's not because there's not enough reason or truth or fact. The reason that you would reject that God, and the reason anyone would reject that God has created the world, is because you lack faith. You reject what God has said about creation. It means you do not have faith, and therefore you do not have understanding. To believe God created the universe is to simply reject what God has said. What does Romans 1 verse 20 say? For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived. Since when? Ever since the creation of the world, Paul says in Romans. Since the creation of the world, when he spoke it into existence, his divine attributes, his power and his nature have been clearly perceived in what? In what was made. So they are without excuse. To reject that God created the universe, it is a matter of faith and a matter of authority. Will you believe what the Bible says about creation, or will you not? Will you have faith to believe what God's word says, or will you not? Because on the basis of God's testimony and his powerful word, he spoke and created the universe out of nothing by the power of his word. He framed, orchestrated, created by the very words out of nothing. That is what God says. And by faith we know it. And if God says it, that settles it, regardless if you believe it. God has spoken this into existence. It is simply and powerfully by the word of God that faith knows and understands. Faith looks out upon the world, upon what is seen, and clearly perceives his divine attributes through what has been made. And we say, as we look to the stars and the sky and the moon and the sun and the babies, and we say, God does that. And it is the fool, the Bible says, who looks out upon the beauty and the order of the universe and says within his heart, there is no God. The world was made by God's word. Let's get back to first principles. What does God's word say? And you may say that this is unsophisticated, but my friend, we are not living by sophistication. We are living by faith. And the revelation that we have from God in our hands says that he has created all that is seen out of what we cannot see. This is what we know by faith. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And this has far-reaching implications for the way that we live our life. Because the Word of God not only says that He created it, created everything that we see by the word of His power, it also says that His Word, the power of His Word, sustains all that He has already created. At the beginning of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews says He upholds the universe in verse 3 of chapter 1 by the word of His power. We must understand the implications for this in for our faith and in our life. That if we believe that God has created the world out of nothing, and then He upholds and sustains creation, He brings everything into existence out of nothing by His word, and now He sustains and upholds this world by His word. That means God is sovereign creator. And whether it's in the farthest corner of the universe or it's within your own life, that means nothing is spiraling out of control. It means that nothing on this planet or in your life is outside of His sovereign purview. Nothing is outside of God's gracious eye. He's the one that's given us life and breath. He is the creator. He spoke it into existence, and now He upholds it by His word. So even every breath that we take is a mercy from God. The fact that we woke up this morning is a mercy from God, because He sustains our life. He sustains our very breath, and He sustains this world. He keeps it even on its axis. God keeps the world spinning. God keeps the world moving. God sustains. It is in Him we live and breathe and have our own being. He not only spoke this into existence, He sustains it by His word. This means that if this is who God is, His power, His immensity, His sovereignty, His creative prerogative, and that is who this God is, has that type of power, has that type of ability, it means we should fear this God, love this God, praise this God, serve this God, worship this God, follow this God, trust this God, serve Him, obey Him, that there's nothing else to do but then to bow down before this God, to depend upon this God, to recognize this God's unlimited power, to think He spoke out of nothing. He spoke everything. We can't even begin to fathom that type of power. And yet this is the God who is. This is the God who speaks, and it was. Think about the power of this God, the immensity of this God, the completely sovereign power and prerogative of this God. This God is in the heavens, and He does all that He pleases. Let this be a grand and gracious reminder that God created the whole world. You know that old children's song? He's got the whole world in His hands. He's got the wind and the rain in His hands. He's got the itty bitty babies in His hands. He's got the mommies and the daddies in His hands. He's got the whole world in His hands. And if He's got the whole world in His hands, that means He's got you in His hands. And He upholds you. He sustains you. This God created you. You know, I think about a psalm like Psalm 147. And what does it say? It says that God determines the number of the stars. And He gives every star a name. Great is our God, abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. But then when you start to think about that verse a little bit, in light of God's creative power, He says He's named every star. Do you know how many stars there are in our universe? 70 septillion stars. That's a 7 with 23 zeros behind it. This is how many stars there are. Is that for every grain of sand, this is what astronomers would say, for every grain of sand on our beach, so every beach on planet Earth, you go and you start counting every grain of sand. One grain of sand. One grain represents 10,000 stars. That's how vast. I mean, can we even begin to understand that? One grain of sand equals 10,000 stars in the sky. And then yet this God who created all this out of nothing says, I know those stars by name. And God has named every star. And I think about what Jesus says in Luke 12. We're going from stars to sparrows for a second. And he says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them, not one sparrow sold for 2 pennies, is forgotten by God. And that's where he says, why, even the hairs on your head are all numbered. Fear not. Are you not more valuable than the sparrows? Could we not also say that if he knows every, he's even numbered the hair on your head, he knows the 70 septillion stars by name. He knows every sparrow that's been sold. Could we not say that are you not more valuable than the sparrow? Could we not also say you are more valuable than those stars that he has named? Now we think about God's sovereignty. Now we think about his power. And now you think about your life. Do you think God has somehow forgotten you when he knows every star by name? Do you think anything comes to pass in your life that didn't first pass through the Father's hands? Do you think anything in your life, as even as tragic as it may be, caught God off guard? The God who knows by name every star, the God who does not forget a single sparrow he created. And yet, you are made in his image. We are the apex of his creation. Can you not trust this God? I mean, what better truth to know as he is trying to promote persevering and enduring faith? What better truth to keep me enduring and keep me persevering is to know that the God who spoke everything into existence out of nothing is for me and cares for me. The God who is infinite, eternal, glorious, sovereign, and all-powerful, who we owe our very existence to, holds me in his hands. Everything that he has promised is as secure as creation itself. Can you not trust and believe this God? How could you not trust and believe this God? He did everything. He's made the world. He made the stars and the skies, and he made you. And he watches over you in such a way that not all those hairs that he has numbered, not one can even fall from your head without the will of this God permitting it. Yes, indeed, all things work together for my salvation. Why? Because in Christ, I belong to him. So live by faith. Know that nothing will stop this God. Nothing will thwart the plans of God. Nothing is too hard for this God. Nothing is too impossible for this God. God's word is powerful and active and will accomplish its purposes. So live your life utterly dependent and reliant on this God. To live by faith, to trust God, to receive his word, to believe it, and to fix your troubled heart on the God who made you and gave you life. Amen. But, however, We think about this God who has created all things and spoke everything out of existence, out of nothing, who upholds me and gives me life and created me. And yet, we still have the audacity to rebel and reject this God who made us. To rebel against His rule, to reject His word. This God who has all authority and all power and all sufficiency, who is timeless, eternal, and self-existent, that by the word of His power, by merely speaking, He created all that there is and all that we can see. And yet, in our flesh and in our sin and in our own depravity and in our own total inability to love Him as we ought, we rebel against this God. We reject this God. And so what does a God who is good, a good creator, a powerful creator, what should He do with the creation that rejects Him? What He should do, what He can do, what He will do to some, is He will punish them for their sin in hell forever. To think about the audacity of our sin to rebel against this powerful and great God. What should this God do when we reject Him? And yet, this God who is all powerful and spoke everything into existence out of nothing, who has the divine prerogative to punish us in our sin for our willful rejection of Him, what this God does is He sends the very agent of creation, His Son, to this world that He created. And now God steps into the world that He created and takes on human flesh. And this God, Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, He lives in the place of those that He created and yet rejected Him. And He lives perfectly, obeying the law of God. He goes to the cross and dies as a substitute for sinners and as a sacrifice for sin, so that those that have rejected Him, that have rejected this powerful Creator, the Creator Himself comes and He dies for those that have rejected Him. And so Jesus Christ on the cross dies as a substitute and as a sacrifice, spilling His blood as a sacrifice for sins. He pays for our sin. He pays for our rebellion. He pays for our rejection of Him. And then He dies, He's buried, and then by the very power of God that spoke this word into existence, He tells Jesus to rise, and He resurrects from the grave, knowing that all that would trust in Jesus Christ can now, because of His work and His person, be reconciled and restored to the God that we have rejected. Because of Jesus Christ, our God created us. We have rejected His good rule, but then because of His grace and love and mercy, He sent His Son. And now by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, we can be restored and reconciled to the God who made us. We can know Him. We can have a relationship with this God. We can know Him and love Him and obey Him and praise Him and fear Him as we ought in Jesus Christ. So don't just look to the power of creation. We must also, as we look to the power of creation, we clearly perceive who God is. His righteousness, His wrath, His goodness, and His sovereignty, and yet we still reject Him. So do not just stop at looking at the power of creation. You must fix your eyes on the power that is the cross. And you must look to Christ and His work, the very agent of creation, coming and dying for your sins so that you could have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. The very one who spoke this world into existence came into this world to save sinners. My friend that's not trusting Jesus Christ, would you turn from your sin and trust in Jesus by faith? You know God created the world, and now you have heard that this God who created the world has sent his son for your sins so that you could have eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. Would you turn from your sin and trust in Jesus Christ, and he will be merciful to you. You shall know him, and he will remember your sins no more. Turn from your willful rejection and rebellion of the God who made you, and trust in Jesus Christ, and be restored and reconciled to him, knowing that the Son of God died for your sins so that you might have eternal life. And brothers and sisters who have done that, is it not sometimes too much to think that the God who spoke everything into existence loves me and cares for me? To think that that God loves me, sees me, cares for me, knows every hair on my head. That this God who said in creation, "Let there be light," this same God came to us and said in our hearts, "Let there be life," and there was. That is how gracious and good this God is. To think the God who spoke everything into existence out of nothing, we have sinned against him and we have failed him, and yet he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Will this God not graciously give us all things? We're about to sing, "How Great Thou Art." And he says in that verse, "When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. This God who made me, loves me, and sent his son for me." So then my soul sings, "How great thou art." It is by faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And so sings our soul of how great and how powerful this God is. He did not spare even his own son for you and for me. Thank you for listening to sermon audio from Grace Hill Church. Please feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without written permission.